be asked to speak. And it's always still humbling to me, because I think just a few years back, I would have never been in a situation where I could have gotten up and shared the news. I may could have spoken to people, but nobody would have listened to a word I had to say, just because the fruit of my life, it bared no fruit. And I told somebody, my friends just the other day, I texted them, I said, you know what? I've been a pastor, labeled pastor for 2 weeks. But I've been called for 25 years. And I don't know, Holy Spirit's already taken over, because this ain't what I'm going to talk about. But if there's anybody here today that just feels like you're not where you're supposed to be, you feel like you can't be used, I promise you, God's got a purpose for your life. There's a reason you're here. It's not by mistake. We asked some of the youth the other day, it's such an awful thing to tell your kids, but I have friends that their parents actually told them that they were a mistake, that they wasn't playing. But the thing about it is, we told y'all last week, you may not have been planned, but you were purposed. There's a reason every single one of you are here, and God's got plans to use your life. And today we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and just what he does, who he is. I know a bunch of people already have their minds made up. Some people try to get spooky spiritual. Y'all, there's nothing spooky about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing scary about the Holy Spirit. He moves in power. He's mighty. He's the Spirit of God. And today, we're just going to talk about who he is, what he is, how to listen to him, and how to manifest and how to use that power that's been given to us. I want to go to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. We're going to read, we're going to pray, and we're going to dive in. Y'all got your swim gear on today? We might go a little deep today. I'm just kidding. I'm going to stay in the chalet, but it's going to be a hot chalet. John 14, verse 15 through 27. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Y'all don't get that tongue twisted. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas... You know you messed up when the Bible puts you in parentheses. Not Judas Iscariot. Said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for today. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor. Anoint my lips. Let it be straight from you, Holy Spirit. Don't let it be Cam up here. This isn't for selfish gain, Father God. All of this is to glorify you. Jesus, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to share your word today, Father God. I pray that you'll open all of our hearts to let us receive you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll open all of our ears to let us hear you today, Father God. Let us feel you. Let us see you move today, Father God. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Man, it's going to be good today, y'all. I'm excited about today. So who is the Holy Spirit? I'm going to go ahead and tell you what he ain't. He's not a it. Ain't that right, Miss Charlie? He's not a it. You don't refer to him as a it. It's a person. It's a being. All in the scripture, it refers to him as he. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Almighty God. It's a trilogy. God our Father, God. You got God the Father, you got Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have God. Then you have God in the flesh is Jesus. And Jesus, after he was, after he came on this earth, after he paved our way to salvation, he told the disciples, he said, hey, I got to go. But it's better that I go now. I almost felt Usher come over me right then. But it's better that I go. So that way I can send a helper to be with you. Y'all got to understand something. When Jesus was here, if he was here right now in Sylvania, he couldn't be in Statesboro. He couldn't be in Millen or wherever. But now that the Holy Spirit's here, he's omnipresent. That means he's right here with us in Sylvania, Georgia. He's with my daddy over there in Antioch. He's with Pastor Clint, wherever they are in the Bahamas. That place we're going to, Goosegapa, he's with them people right now. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Jesus said, it's better that I go now. Because I will send you a helper. Y'all, the Holy Spirit's been there from the get-go. From the very beginning of time. Genesis chapter 1. Oh, I don't know if we got it. I got it. I should know the first scripture of the Bible. I should make sure I read it right. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Y'all, that's at the very beginning. The beginning of time, the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit was there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So I've done explain to you the trilogy. They're all the same. It's three in one. It's the Godhead, three in one. They're all the same. He's been there from the very beginning. What else is he? He's our comforter. And let me show y'all something that Miss Erin Martin shared with us the other day at group. There's a reason he's called our comforter. If everything was comfortable, you wouldn't need a comforter. Does that make sense? I know there's a bunch of ers and ubbles and all that stuff in there. But listen, things are going to get tough. You can't grow inside your comfort zone. Serving God ain't always easy. Sometimes you got to step out. That's why you have an advocate, a helper, a comforter to help you. When you don't think you can do it, he's saying, man, I got you. I'm going to lock you up in my arms. I'm right here. I got your back. He's our counselor. Y'all, it's God living in us. That's hard to fathom sometimes, that the maker of all of this, all the earth, still cares enough about you to make a way to be on the inside of every single one of us. That he could rotate the earth at the perfect angle to make everything align, yet he still knows the number of hairs on your head. He's personal. He's a personal God. What does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? We'll go to John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. Did I give y'all that? I got it in my Bible. 7 through 11 right here. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Let me explain y'all something real quick. The prince of this world. Who is that prince of this world? Satan. Well, how's he a prince? Let me show you what my buddy Mr. Mayo taught me. The earth is under lease right now. It's leased out, plain and simple. You know, if you lease a house, the homeowner can't just bust up in there uninvited. The prince of this earth, the devil, has lease on the earth. He has control on the earth. But you know what? You can invite the homeowner into the house. You can invite Jesus onto the scene. You can invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And then the devil has no say-so anymore. But verse 8, Jesus tells us, I read 8 again. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That means he's convicting the world of its sin and bringing it to repentance. Y'all, the world tells us there's not anything you can't do. If it feels good, go for it. That's not what Jesus taught. It ain't about everything that feels good, because sometimes it ain't fun. Sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes it hurts. But does that mean you just quit with it? That you just don't do it? Y'all, I wish I could tell y'all serving God was just a paved road. Everything's easy. Pretty flowers all up and down the road. Sometimes you go through dry spots, through dead spots, where it looks like nothing's growing. But does that mean you quit just because it don't feel good anymore? We're not here to please ourselves, y'all. We're here for a purpose, and that is to make disciples. That's to worship God, to make disciples. But just because the world says something is okay, don't make it right to God. I understand we live in a time where things are different and we have laws passed where years ago they have never even been thought of. But just because it says it's okay to do, don't make it right. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He doesn't condemn you. He will convict you. Andrew taught me that the other day. I love our grow group, by the way. But he told us that the other day, that the Holy Spirit, his job, part of his job is he convicts us. You know when you're fisting to tell maybe a dirty joke you shouldn't tell? Am I the only one that feels like that? You can feel, or not even dirty joke, but gossip. I struggle with dirty jokes, but gossip. You can feel yourself listening to share something you're not supposed to, and you feel, I ain't supposed to say that. Don't say that, Cam. Don't say that. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit governing you. He's saying, hey, don't do it. Don't do it. You want to be real honest? I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. But I love hunting real bad. And I told Gent the other day, I checked my camera, had a picture of a nice buck. I said, I'm going to kill that deer yesterday, Saturday. Well, rifle season don't come in until this coming Saturday. I know it's muzzle loader. I said, I'm going to go. And my gun's got a barrel. I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to kill him. But it's wrong. It's not muzzle loader season. I done had my mind made up. I was going to go kill him. And all I could hear in my mind, render Caesar what's Caesar's and give God what's God's. I'm like, Jesus, this is a nice buck. It's like shooting ducks. I don't know what it is. 2 minutes before legal shooting time, that's when the ducks want to flood in there. Can I get amen? And you got to sit there and just, Jesus. But then you think about the big picture. I believe we serve a God that will honor us for serving him. You know, and we have some good duck shoots. I still ain't killed a big buck, but it'll happen. In the name of Jesus, it's going to happen. But that conviction, that little still small voice in your head telling you right from wrong. People say that's your conscience. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. He's telling you what you should and shouldn't do. But like I say, him letting you know you fell short, him convicting you on where you messed up, that's not condemnation. There is no more condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wrath has been poured out. Jesus took that condemnation on the cross and nailed it to the cross. He took all that. You know, I hate this. People get sick and I'm like, you know, well, God put this sickness on me, or there was a tragedy, God just did this. Y'all, God don't kill people. God don't make people sick. We live in a fallen world, and the prince of this world, he's busy. He's trying his best to take people out. But God didn't make people sick. God don't give people cancer. The fact about it is, we live in a fallen world, and the devil wants to take you out, especially when you say you believe in Jesus. Because he don't want you to share that with nobody else. But God didn't make you sick. He didn't do it. Why would he send his son to die for you, to take away your sin, to take away your sickness, just to put it back on you? I ain't a rocket scientist, but that don't add up. God don't make people sick, y'all. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. When you receive what Jesus has done for you, you're set free from the law. The law was if you ever messed up, if you ever sinned, if you ever did one single sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. Y'all, but the law, the Spirit comes to give life. The Spirit is freedom. I don't know the scripture, but it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, There's freedom. There's liberty. My buddy Mason told me something the other day. He said, Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead people live. That's what the Spirit of God does. It's not just about being good. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a new person, a new creation. We're not under the old law anymore, y'all. We're under the freedom of the Spirit of God. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead, that brought him up out of that tomb, y'all, it's in this room right here. It's inside of you sitting in these chairs right now. Think about that for a second. The same power that rose our Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive and well, and he's still living, still kicking, still healing, still saving right now. Y'all, come on, somebody. That thing's getting good to me. But you don't enter the kingdom of God by living a better life. Being good don't get you there. But when you call on the name of Jesus, when you receive that grace, that mercy that was poured out for you, you're made anew inside. That new spirit, that's what changes people's lives. That resurrecting power has the same power when you call on it to resurrect your life. So you don't have to keep doing the same stuff you was doing. You don't have to keep sinning and doing this. And well, you know, I'm going to try to quit. No, you have power to be free from it. Those chains don't hold you down no more. It's a spiritual rebirth. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Let's get something right off the rip right here with this one. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. He will never lead you astray. He'll never take you down the wrong path. Y'all heard Pastor Clint share it before where he said somebody told him that he felt like God was just telling him to leave his wife because he'd met this other lady and he just felt like God wanted him with her. That ain't the Spirit of God, y'all. I don't know if that's the spirit of lust. It's some kind of demonic spirit, but it ain't the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit would never do that to you. Why? He can't. He physically can't. John 16, verse 12, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. That's Jesus. These words in red, y'all listen, they're important. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive and what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said you will receive from me what he will make known to you. What I'm saying there is everything that the Holy Spirit hears comes straight from Jesus. And Jesus ain't going to lie to you. Jesus ain't going to leave you hanging. So the Holy Spirit, he can't lead you astray. He can only do what Jesus tells him. And Jesus done said, everything I do comes from my Father. But you got to listen to that still small voice. You got to discern all the different stuff you're hearing and listen for the voice of truth. He guides us, y'all. He's always got our back. The Holy Spirit, y'all, he brings us peace. Not a temporary feel-good. It's not a peace where, you know, first sign of trouble, it runs away. No, that's an earthly peace. But we don't have an earthly peace, y'all. Through Christ Jesus, we've accepted this, and we have a supernatural peace that passes all understanding. It's a deep, everlasting peace. The world, the definition for peace is an absence of conflict. Like we talked earlier, you think there's always going to be an absence of conflict? Y'all, I ain't 25 years old, but I've done faced a bunch of conflict in my life. And I'm sure I got a lot more. Why? Because I'm in a fight. This is a fight. Every day is a battle. I mean, the Bible wouldn't tell you in Ephesians how to put on the armor of God if you're not in a fight. If you ain't in a battle, what you need armor for? It's a fight every single day when you wake up. But y'all, this earthly peace, it's an absence of conflict. It's a quick fix. Soon as something comes up against you in your way, where does that peace go? It's not there. It's not a peace where when as soon as a cloud pops up and the sunshine's gone, it goes away. Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm giving you. He says in John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That's not an earthly peace. I don't give you what the world gives you. I'm going to give you something that when the doctor report comes back that you don't want to see, you're still going to have peace. When your marriage is on the rocks and feel like there's no way, I'm still going to give you peace. Whether the cancer goes or the cancer stays, I'm still going to give you peace. That's the peace from the rock of salvation, because the rock don't move. That's the kind of peace the Holy Spirit brings. It's not a temporary quick fix. It's that you can stand in the storm when everything looks like it's just going to Hades in a handbasket, and you can stand on the rock and still have peace. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, y'all. Peace I give you. He gives us his peace. Y'all, my granddaddy, a few weeks ago, he was out fishing with one of his friends, and I don't remember the guy's name. Anyways, he called my mama. No, he didn't call my daddy. He called my daddy and said, he's listening. He said, Jimmy, something's happened to him. I think he's having a heart attack. So daddy called mama. She ran and got him, took him to the hospital. They did blood work on him, and his enzyme levels, all that stuff was out of whack, messed up. They said he's had a heart attack. Well, my dad got there. It's my dad, my grandma, and my granddad. They're all sitting there in this hospital waiting room waiting to be delivered to Savannah. And daddy said he's sitting there just praying. He said he just kept reminding himself and my grandparents that scripture in Luke when it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. He just kept reminding everybody that. And he said, my granddaddy sat there in the middle of all this going on, think he's having a heart attack, and he just got a smile on his face. He said, no matter what happens, I'm good. Whether I stay here or whether I go, I know where I'm going, and I'm good. That's the kind of peace I'm talking about. That whether I live or whether I die, no matter what, I have peace. Because if I stay here, I get to keep on glorifying Christ. If I die, I get to go see Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain, right? I will have peace through the Holy Spirit. Yo, the Holy Spirit will bring you peace in the face of uncertainty. It replaces conflict with comfort. And all that is yours if you just receive it. It's that simple, y'all. All you got to do is receive it. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, reminds us of everything that Jesus has ever said. This is free right here. You know, I used to always pray this scripture, Lord, bring to remembrance for this test. But if you ain't studying for the test, how you going to remember? You know what I mean? I struggled in high school. I ain't going to lie to you. But with the Word of God, y'all, this is the only book I do read. But my God, what a good book to read. But anyways, that was free. Read this book. You don't have to be able to read it cover to cover and quote scripture. As long as you know it's in there, you've read it somewhere, and don't twist and turn and make it fit what you want to say. The Word stands on its own. You just need to stand with the Word. But read that Word and apply it to your life. Holy Spirit will bring that back to you. You may be going through something. You know, your world may seem dark or whatever, like you're just facing all kind of stuff. And that Holy Spirit just talks to you. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. You know what I'm talking about? When you're just sitting there, and all of a sudden you just start hearing scripture in your head, and the Holy Spirit saying, listen, man, we got this. It's tough right now, but we got this. You feel like, I'm just a failure. Man, you know, everything I've been doing, nothing works. I can't get nothing right. And there's the Holy Spirit. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You know, you may feel like you've just messed up. So far away from God. God, I've been running fast as I could go. But just like that song sang about, that reckless love is chasing you down. He's kicking down Spartan 300, kicking down walls. He's tearing down every lie the enemy tries to tell you. And he tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You could stand on that. One single scripture all day. When the devil tries to tell you everything that you're not good enough to love, tell him that. That's the God-breathed, Holy Spirit-breathed Word of God right there. You don't have to be able to quote scripture after scripture. Just pick a verse and stand on that verse. Apply that verse to your life. Now we're going to go to Acts. This is when it gets good. We all heard of Pentecost, right? That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus actually gave them to the disciples. I think it's John 20, verse 22, something like that. But at Pentecost, this is when the Holy Spirit was poured out for everybody. Y'all, it's been 50 days since Jesus was resurrected, and it's been 40 days since he was ascended into heaven. And that's what we'll pick up in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I got you right here. They're all in the upper room. They're waiting on what was promised to them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. As the Spirit enabled them. Y'all listen to this. This is how my Bible breaks this down. And I couldn't say it any better than this. I was going to read it. Why tongues of fire? Tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the gospel. Fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. On Mount Sinai, God confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law with fire from heaven. That's in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 18, if you want to look it up. At Pentecost, God confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire. At Mount Sinai, fire had come down on one place. At Pentecost, fire came down on many believers, symbolizing that God's presence is now available to all who believe in him. What that scripture is saying there, y'all, is that when the Holy Spirit came, it ain't just for one person. It wasn't just for the apostles. It's available to every single one of us. All you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. You know, they got up and they started talking, and all of them had tongues of fire. I think they're speaking in tongues. I think that's what we're talking about. They're speaking in tongues there. And all these people are gathered there, and they're all hearing their own language. And, you know, I was studying this and reading this, and I got to thinking, I was like, you know, every single one of us, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you got the fire inside of you. And you got the tools with your testimony to speak somebody's language. You get what I'm saying here? You can reach out and make a difference in somebody's life. Not saying you got to be talking in a different language to them, but every single one of us have a different language where we can step out and reach somebody who's been through the same things we've been through. Y'all received that? But that's when the Holy Spirit was made available to everyone. The crowd at Pentecost asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive it. So how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Repent for your sins. Repent for your sins. Be baptized. Ask Jesus into your life. But here's the problem. I see people who have done that, who have asked Jesus to come into their lives, who have this power inside of them, but nothing in their life shows it. They're still living in bondage. Why is that? They don't walk like they're in freedom or like they're in victory. I shared this with the youth. I shared this with Joe. Had a dog one time. We was trying to break it, walking on a collar, because it tried to pull you all around the yard. And it don't work good. You go through the woods with a dog, do you like that? So we took a pole, something in the yard, and we tied the leash around it. And the dog fought, couldn't get off. Well, finally, he just quit. He was tired of fighting. He was broke. You go over there, take the leash off. He's free. He can run anytime he wants to. But what's he do? He sits right there. until you get up and you almost got to tell him to move. And once he realizes, he takes off then. He takes off with a fire under his butt then. But what I'm saying is, we as Christians, how many of us have done that? You've received the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's inside of you, but you're still living in bondage. You're still living like you're in chains, like you're tied down. Why is that? So here's the question. How do you activate that power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think first things first, you got to believe it. You got to believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes only through Jesus. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, y'all, there was nothing. There was nothing there. It was void. It was just darkness. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But then what happened? God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Well, okay. John chapter 1, verse 1 tells me that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if Jesus is the Word of God, soon as the Word was put into motion, soon as the Word was put into place, the Holy Spirit activated. He took off. He started making things. And then 7 days later, here we are. 6th day, 7th day, he was chilling. But you have to have Jesus. That's the foundation of it all, is what Jesus Christ did for you. You have to accept that. So Jesus is first. That's how you got to get a hold of you. Jesus is first. Second, it kind of goes one and two together because you got to believe in Jesus to receive him. But believe everything in this Bible. Everything. This is the Word of God, y'all. You want to know Jesus? Read that. He is the Word. That's Jesus right there. You can hold him. You can read him. You can look at him all day long. That is the Word of God right there. Believe every single word in it. Don't try to read this part and say, I'll follow this part, but I ain't going to follow that part. Y'all, you got to take the Word for what it is. Don't try and leave parts out. Yo, I believe everything in this Bible. I believe when it says that Jesus was born of a virgin. That don't even seem possible, but I believe that it happened because God said that it happened. I don't have to know all the facts of why, how, when. It's in there, so I believe it. Childlike faith. People say children are gullible. No, y'all just think too much. Just let God be God. Why do you want to serve a God you can figure out anyways? To put him into your box. God's not fitting into your box, y'all. But believe it. I believe that he was born of a virgin, that he was resurrected, and that now he sits in heaven, and that he has poured out his Spirit at Pentecost to every single person. And all you have to do is receive it. I believe that with all my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in tongues and different kinds of tongues, and still another to the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I believe every single word of that. I believe people have the gift of prophecy. I believe they have the gift of healing, the gift of tongues. I believe it, y'all. It's in there. You know, you hear about all these missionaries, they go to all these places like in Africa and stuff, and they see all these miraculous just healings. They see God just show up and show out. Y'all, those people believe in a spiritual realm. They believe, they know that there are powers out there so higher than themselves that you have, I reckon to them, they don't know about God yet, but it's good powers. They know there's evil powers. Daddy said when he went to Africa, they set up at nighttime at one of the places and they had the spotlights and said outside of the whole spotlight, the witch doctors, the voodoo, all that stuff was circled up around them and they're throwing chicken bones in there at them while they're preaching the gospel. But those people believe in something and they're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. So the question I want to ask is, why don't we see that here? Why don't we see that here? But y'all, we live in a world where people have to see everything to believe it. They want to hold the facts and read all this stuff. But just let God be God. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he's healing back then, And he poured out his spirit on the disciples, and they were getting healed by the passing of people's shadows. I believe that can still happen today. That's what I believe. And I'm not here to give my opinions. I'm here to give the facts. But I know that it says that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're in the today part, and I think he's still the same God. I believe he uses every single one of us to reach people. Y'all can reach people that I can't reach. I can reach people that y'all can't. I have a gift. Y'all have gifts. You may not know what your gift is yet. Y'all might still be trying to figure it out. It took me a long time. My gift used to get me in trouble in school. I was never really bad. I just talked too much. But the thing about it is, a gift can, that's what we learned at Motion, a gift can fill up this room, make people laugh, and they'll still leave out them doors with the same chains they were brought in. But the anointing, that's what breaks the chains and you walk out of here free. Y'all, God has chosen y'all. Y'all are an anointed generation. God has chosen every single one of us. You wouldn't be sitting here listening if you wasn't. He wants to use us. He wants to use you exactly where you're at. So you got to have Jesus. You got to believe it. One more thing. I'm going to get ahead of myself. You know, at Pentecost, it said the sound of a mighty rushing wind come into place when the Holy Spirit showed up. Well, you know, people talk about the Big Bang Theory, about how it just popped up. Yo, I think that same roaring wind at Pentecost was the same roaring wind that happened when God said, let it be light. I think that same wind that come through there at Pentecost just took over the earth. When God spoke, when you speak, you breathe. God is the breath of life. When he picked up Adam, he breathed into him. That's where he got his life from, y'all. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones. What did God do? And I believe God is here today wanting to breathe, wanting to pour out his spirit on all of us. We have problems. We have ailments. I believe God is wanting to move today. Is anybody ready to receive that? That same breath, that same power that rose Jesus is alive. It is able, and it's right here waiting for you today. You just got to receive it. The same blood that put death in its place is flowing through these veins right here. Because I've been bought at a price. You've been bought at a price. The blood that freed me frees you. We're blood brothers. Me and Mr. Mel, we might as well be twins. I know, I don't look that good, I'm sorry. And the third thing I want to say is live it. Activate in the Holy Spirit. You got to believe it. You got to have Jesus. And the third and final thing is I want you to live it. When you hear that still small voice saying you got 2 more minutes till shooting time, don't pull the trigger yet. When you hear that voice, act on it. That same voice when you may be sitting in a restaurant and you see somebody over there having a bad day. It says, go over there and just pay for their meal. Act on it. When you feel God move, don't miss out. Just sitting there doing nothing. No, faith without works is dead, y'all. It takes faith to believe this. It takes faith to get up and get out when God's called you to do something. It takes faith to get on an airplane and go down to South America and love on some people you've never seen before. Live it every single day. God's going to get the glory. You may feel like you can't do nothing. You know what? I feel like I can't preach. But this is when I like it. When I feel absolutely worthless, because that just shows me it ain't nothing to do with me. All God wants is a vessel. Somebody willing. He needed a mouth. I got a big one. But you got to live it. Every single day, y'all. I've told y'all stories. I remember at the fire department when that guy, we just left group, Mr. Charles and Mr. Bill, and we sat right over there, and I told them, they prayed over me. I told them, I felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to move in me the other night, and I ignored him. I was at Subway. I ignored him. I was supposed to pray for that woman behind, I was supposed to pray for that sandwich artist, and I didn't do it. So then I'm sitting there, and I tell him, I ain't going to miss out again. If God calls me to move, I'm going to get up and move. I leave here, go to the gym, or at the fire department, and one of the inmate firefighters walks by, comes in there and talks to me. And I felt the Holy Spirit just right there in my head, that still small voice, pray for this man. Pray for this man. Woo! I was so hyped up. I said, good night. And he walked off. And I said, oh, my God, Cam. You just said you wasn't going to miss another opportunity to be used. And here you are. What are you doing? You're missing opportunities. So I'm sitting there, and I'm kicking myself in the face for it, beating myself up, feeling convicted. And I look up, and here he comes back again. I said, oh, God, I got him now. And, you know, it's like you done let the buck get away one time. Oh, I got him now. I said, hey, man, come here. He walks over there, and I said, so-and-so, because his name ain't important, not yo. But I said, so-and-so, is everything all right? He says, yeah. Why? I said, you sure? I got that serious tone. You know, you sure? Is everything okay? He said, did somebody tell you something? I was like, oh, here we go. I said, no, but I know I need to pray with you. And he just breaks down. He was an inmate, so he's locked up. And his mama or grandmother, somebody had just died, and he couldn't get out to go see him. And the man was hurt. And y'all, we prayed, and that rascal, he went and told everybody in the fire department about how just God just showed out, you know. But it did more for me, because it just showed me, if you will listen, that's my fourth point. I ain't even got it, but it's going down now. If you will listen, God will use you in so many ways that you could never even think possible. I would have never thought I'd be leading a youth group. I'd have never thought I'd get ordained as a pastor. God's got a sense of humor, as I can say. But he wants to use you. Y'all, that Holy Spirit, you know, we've been in John 14 and John 16. We're going all around John 15. But go home and read John 15. It talks about the vines and the branches. God's the vine. We're the branches. Y'all, that same power that flows through that vine flows into them branches. And when you lay hands on people, that Holy Spirit is pouring out of you. He's pouring into them people. All the cracks in relationships, all the holes formed by sickness, he's filling them up with his Spirit and his healing. I believe in laying hands on people. Me and a fellow work out every morning. He's traditional Baptist. That's cool. But when we pray, I lay hands on him every single time we pray. I believe in that. Man, y'all come on up, please. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Y'all, we finna do something that we've been needing to do for a while. We finna have an altar call. And I want the hurting, the lost, the broken. I want people that need healing to come and get the healing they've been looking for. I want them to come and get prayed over, to get hands laid on them. But more than that, I want y'all to believe it. I want y'all to believe that there is a Savior who loves you. That he wants what's best for you. He don't want you sick. He don't want you hurting. That wants to move in a mighty way today. Y'all, I got to share a praise report real quick. I got a buddy, Johnny B, over there. He came to us, a month ago maybe? He said, man, my dad's got cancer. Had colon cancer. But the thing about Johnny B was, there wasn't no fear in his eyes. Something like that can rattle you to the core. But there was no fear in his eyes. And we've been praying and believing that God would just manifest healing in his body. That there was no place for sickness. That the devil had no control over his life. Well, y'all, I get a text Friday morning. Dad's cancer free. Praise God. I tell y'all that to tell you this. God is still in the healing business. He ain't changed. He ain't went nowhere. So we fixing to sing and we fixing to give praise to God. And I'm going to stand right down here. And if there's anything you need prayer over, if you've been searching for something, you've been needing healing, y'all, I'm believing with all my heart that we are going to see it today. That God is going to move in a mighty way. He's already been moving. I believe hearts are already stirring. And I believe the healing's finna happen. Y'all strum that guitar song pretty good.